Mark chapter 4, in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. The Word of God says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them," that's Jesus said unto his disciples, "let us pass over unto the other side." I want to just pause right there, and I want you to think about what Jesus said right there. He said, "Let us pass over, let us pass over unto the other side." Now, I believe that in that very statement that Jesus is saying several things. One thing he's saying, he didn't say to them, "You go over to the other side." He wasn't saying, "I'm going over to the other side," but he's saying, "Let us go over to the other side." That is, Jesus and the apostles, they were about to go over to the other side. And all they had to do really was just believe those words that Jesus says, "We're fixing to go to the other side." And if they believed that, then they would have no fear about anything that happened between that point and getting to the other side, but basically Jesus has just said, "We're going to go to the other side. And anything else that happens between now and then, you don't need to worry about that." And I believe that in all of our lives, I believe that there are many different ways we can look at that. And one of those ways is that I believe Jesus has said to every one of us as His children, "Let's go to the other side." And I'm talking about right now going right on up into heaven. One day we're going to the other side. One day we're going not because Jesus has already gone alone, but one day Jesus is going to come back and Jesus is going to take us to the other side. And because I know that Jesus is going to take all of His people to the other side, because I know that the devil and all of his angels cannot, separate us from the love of God, that every single one of God's people are going to be taken to the other side, then anything that happens between now and getting to the other side is really irrelevant, because Jesus is going to take us to the other side. Now, sometimes between now and getting to the other side, sometimes we're going to have storms and problems and troubles in our lives. And it's during those storms and troubles and problems that sometimes we get very much afraid. But if you'll always remember, we're going to the other side. Jesus is going to take us to the other side. It'll help you get through every problem you face between now and then, because we're going to the other side. And I'm glad to know that truth. And I think that if the disciples right here had just felt and understood all that was contained in that one statement, "Let us go to the other side," I think that they would have been much more calm in what they were about to face. So he says, "Let us pass over unto the other side." Now verse 36 says, "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships." Now listen carefully to verses 37 and 38. Verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." You follow what's happening there? This ship was full of water. Now, right then, what could you have done? Could you have panicked? Certainly you could have panicked. Or what could you have done? If your faith was strong, we've already tried to emphasize for the past several weeks that if our faith is strong, if our faith and our confidence is in God, not in anything else, but if our faith is in God, we're not going to be afraid of what happens between here and the other side. But if their faith had been strong, they would not have been afraid even if the ship was full of water. I don't know everything that happened in the sinking of the Titanic, but if it was anything clear, anything close to being like what the movie portrayed, that as that ship was going down and those people were singing praises to God, I think that was a marvelous experience to have. They knew they were going to the other side. Now, they didn't make it all the way across the ocean. They didn't make it to their destination that they thought that they were going to, but they made it to the destination that God was going to carry them to. And so it is that in all of our troubles and problems of life, we need to understand I may not make it from point A to point B, but I'm going to make it from here all the way to eternity because Jesus is the one that's going to take me there. If me being in eternal heaven, if me getting to the other side, if me getting there was dependent on my faithfulness, I'd be scared all the time. If me getting to heaven was based on me remaining faithful to God or on me being good enough to get to the other side, then I would have no assurance of ever. In fact, I would be sure I'm not going to make it. But because Jesus is the one that's going to take me to the other side, I have no fear of coming up short of eternal heaven. So the ship was full of water. Verse 38 says, and he was in, that is, Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. Was he worried about the storm? Was he worried that the ship was full of water? Did it make any difference to him? He's the one that could walk on the water. Certainly it did not bother him, but not only could he walk on the water, which shows tremendous the tremendous power of God, but he can do more than just walk on the water. Watch what he can do. Verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You don't care. Now, were they afraid right there? Were they afraid? They were scared. They were very much afraid. I want you to listen to this now very carefully. I believe that there are two things that happen when we get very afraid in situations similar to this. I believe that one thing is sometimes we're afraid of what this condition is going to bring in our lives right now. But a second thing is, I believe that sometimes the devil comes along and makes us think and feel and say exactly what they said. Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care about me? Don't you care about my problems? Have you ever doubted that Jesus cared? Isn't that what these men are saying? They're saying, Master, don't you care about us perishing? Carest thou not that we perish? Does Jesus care? I'll tell you, that songwriter that wrote those words, does Jesus care? I don't know the number, but I want you to look at it right now because I don't want you to ever forget that Jesus does care. I want you to know that the devil does make you think and feel sometimes that Jesus does not care, but I want you to always remember what time I am afraid, I will what? You better go and write it down. You're going to need it. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Trust in the Lord. Does Jesus care? What's the number? Number 587. Look in your song books, please, at number 587. I want you to think about these words. Number 587. Does Jesus care? Did the apostles right here, did these disciples, did they doubt that Jesus cared? Yes, they did. And when they doubted that Jesus cared, it caused great fear in their lives. And if you ever doubt that Jesus cares about you and your problems, you are going to be much afraid. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? That is, does Jesus care when I'm so trouble that I cannot sing? Have you ever been there that you just can't sing? Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? You think this songwriter knew something about the troubles and problems and storms and battles of life? Indeed, he did. And he knew that the devil sometimes makes us question, does Jesus care? And so he comes to the chorus then and says, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Is the heart of Jesus touched with your grief? Whatever your problems are tonight, whatever your aches and pains, whatever your financial problems, whatever your family problems, whatever your job problems, whatever it is that you're concerned about, does Jesus care? His heart is touched with my grief. The Word of God says that Jesus was tempted in all points like we are. And the Word of God tells us that He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When we have troubles and problems, Jesus does care, and His heart is touched. Has your heart ever been touched about somebody else that was having trouble? Have you ever wept over someone else's burdens and problems? Have you ever felt deep down in your soul the burden that that person was carrying? Well, listen, brethren, you've never felt it as clearly and as closely and as much as Jesus does. Throughout this congregation tonight, there are all kinds of problems and burdens, and Jesus, nobody else may know what your problems are right now, but Jesus knows and Jesus cares, and He is touched. He is touched with the feeling of your infirmity. Verse 2 says, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? Have you ever had dark times in your life that you didn't even know what you were afraid of? You just knew that you were downcast and discouraged, and you had a nameless dread and fear. He says, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does He care enough to be near? Have you ever doubted Jesus was even close to you? Have you ever doubted that He was even close to you? Well, oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Look at verse 3. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptations? Or have you ever tried to resist temptation? Have you ever said, I'm going to start over? Have you ever said and felt, I'm going to do better than I've ever done before, only to find that before long you were right back, at least as low as you were, maybe worse than you were before? And how do you feel when you think that you're going to do better and you end up doing worse? How do you feel? You feel depressed, discouraged, and despondent. You want to throw in the towel. You want to give up. Does Jesus care then? Oh, listen, brethren, Jesus is merciful and gracious. He knows when you're trying and you failed. Does Jesus care when I've tried and I fail to resist some temptation sore, when for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does He care? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. In verse 4, He says, does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? I remember, for at least a year after Michael died, I remember every time we sang that song and got to the fourth verse, I just couldn't keep from just sobbing. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? Does He care? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Does He care? Is it aught to Him? Does He see? Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And so it is that when the apostles came to Jesus and said, carest thou not that we perish, Master? Carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? Oh, brethren, that's exactly what the devil wants you to think when you have troubles and problems, is that either Jesus doesn't care, or else Jesus can't help you with this problem. There is no problem. When problems get big, there is no problem too big for our God. Isn't that wonderful? That may sound quaint and contrite, but there is no problem that you'll ever face in your life but what your God, your Father, your elder brother, Jesus, is able to fix that problem. And He's able to be with you in all the troubles and problems of life. So, what was the first thing they were afraid of in this passage of Scripture? What would you say was the first thing they were afraid of? What were they afraid of that we've read about so far? What were they afraid of? Okay, they were afraid that the ship was going to sink, right? They were afraid the ship was going to sink. Well, what? So what? What if it did? What were they afraid of? If it did sink, what were they afraid was going to happen? They were afraid they were going to die, okay? They were afraid they were going to die. Now come to verse 39. The Scripture says, and he arose, that is, Jesus arose. He arose a lot of times, didn't he? He arose from the grave. Yes, I know that, but there are many times that we sometimes don't feel the presence of Jesus and we think he's asleep somewhere and we think he doesn't care. And all of a sudden he arises and he comes and he helps us. And so it is, verse 39 says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. Now what could he have done? He could have gotten out on the water and could have taken all the men by their hands and could have taken all those little people in those little ships. He could have done all that, couldn't he? He could have said, we're all going to get out. But he did something more powerful right here than just getting out on top of the boisterous water. He spoke to the wind and the waves and said, peace, be still. Have you ever had that happen in your life? When the storms, the wind and the rain was beating upon your house, and Jesus just came and said, peace, be still. The Word of God says, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. How wonderful it is to feel the great calm when Jesus says to our troubled souls, Jesus speaks and says, peace, be still. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Jesus gives a peace far greater than the world can ever give. So there was peace, there was a calm. And verse 40, he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Do you hear the harsh words of rebuke right there? You may think, well, that was just some kind question. I think he was rebuking them. I told you that we're fixing to go to the other side. I've already declared to you we're going to the other side. And just because we haven't made it to the other side yet, and we're having this storm, why are you so fearful? Was it wrong? Was it wrong for them to be fearful? Is it a sin when we're afraid? I believe that it is a sin because it is unbelief. It is because of the sin of unbelief that we get afraid amidst the storms and troubles and problems of life. So I would encourage you tonight not to be afraid. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have, what does he say? No faith. No faith. Sometimes Jesus will speak to, and by the way, these are children of God, that he says at this point in your life, you have no faith. You're not manifesting 1 ounce of faith. You have no faith. Why are you so fearful? Now listen to verse 41. And they what? What are the next two words? And they, verse 41, and they what? Do you see? Does that seem a little humorous to any of you? Now they were afraid when the storm was bad. They were afraid when they thought they were going to die. And then Jesus has said, peace be still. And then he begins to rebuke them. And the Bible says, and they feared exceedingly. Now, Brother David and I, and some of you had a daddy that when he spoke to you any kind of words of rebuke, that you feared exceedingly. All my daddy had to do was just look at me, and I knew there was trouble ahead. And I think Jesus looked at those apostles right there and said, why are you so fearful? You don't have any faith at all. I think they probably felt very much like Peter did after Peter had denied Christ. And then Jesus walked by, and the Word of God talks about how Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter looked at him, and Peter wept bitterly. Have you ever been ashamed because your faith was so weak? Have you ever feared exceedingly at the power and the presence of God? Have you ever been so afraid because you have failed to resist some temptation sore? Isn't that what they just did? They were tempted to fear. They were tempted to doubt Jesus, and they failed to resist that temptation. And Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful?" Whenever you're afraid, I would encourage you, and I exhort you, and I beg you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye believe in God, Jesus says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and we're going to the other side. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.